We continue to carry it forward into the future. Now, without further ado, I want to, of course, thank the legendary artist, a global musical icon, inimitable hip-hop innovator, and one of the genre's most powerful artistic and political voices, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award winner, Chuck D of Public Enemy.
You guys were supposed to grab the mic. First of all, listen, Ted Turner passed away today, right? And the relevant point I'm trying to make amongst all the stuff that he might have claimed that he did or whatever, well, first of all, he owned too much damn land, right? One time I saw him speak on one of his stations, super stations, and I just liked the way he spoke because early on in the 80s, sometimes I would get nervous, and I saw him speaking, and all of a sudden, I was like, wow, that's a nice style of saying, ah, and then looking up at the ceiling, and it's rattling off at the top of his dome, and I adopted that style for a while, and it worked for me. I actually was able to fill it up with things that made a little bit more sense. So, first of all, I'm going to tell you that I am used to being a prism, or a person, or a man of the moment as being an artist. Because I always thought that, okay, you're going to get more than your share. I learned that the great John Densmore, one of my mentors in the back from the Doors, and got Aloe Black here, got Davey D, people I've grown up with and came up with. But one thing I'm not mistaken that we are not educators, we are not doctors, although people call themselves doctors, they call themselves professors, and we've gone into a time really where we've lost the sense of what our purpose is. And our purpose is to be able, if the light is coming to us, we got to do our best to distribute the light to people who are doing real things in real time, and also distribute the light to the people that actually are doing the work. A lot of artists say, yo, I work hard. You know, we all always heard from James Brown, the hardest working man in show business. But the work for society and people, we are able to give us a glimpse, a headline, a notion, but the people that do that work day to day, minute to minute, from the top to the bottom, the things that make society go around and the community go around, increasingly as we hit the millennium, and then we went 20 years in, then we hit the pandemic, and now we're 6 years post-pandemic, you can't ask a damn celebrity to lead you out of the muck and the mire and the swamp that we are in right now. And this is the problem that we have today. So I've had more than my share of the light. But when this project came along, one thing I noticed, you know, and a big props go to Dr. Sammy and Gay Teresa Johnson and Davey D and Laurie Frazier, there has not, this matter of fact, not even not enough, there's been a disrespect for scholarship and tenure in this society, which reflects why the society is in the place that it's in right now. When you basically, in real talk, when you dismiss smart people and make smart people afraid to say they're smart people, you get the dumbassification we under right now. This book ain't a celebration of me. I mean, when it comes down to, I've always, since I was a little boy, I don't like to be the center of attraction. But if I'm the center of attention, how did I divert it? My parents would throw parties for me and I would run down the block to the park. I was like, I thought this party was for Chuck. Oh, he's three blocks away because he don't want to be in the center of all the light. But if you're in the center of all the light, how the best do you be a prison, a prism? You got to divert the light. This book is a celebration of the work that goes in it, all participants, all the people that made it happen, as a spark to hopefully be able to reverse the tidal wave of dumbassified shit that's in this society right now. And it starts from a seed of belief and then the confidence, because it ain't going to happen by itself. Things don't happen by themselves. It's got to start from an idea. And sometimes the idea has to get processed. I mean, what, the Walt Disney story is like, people were going to his office over in Elysian Street over there in Burbank and said, Walt, I got a great idea. He was like, wait, hold it. You have an idea. We'll all figure out if it's great. We can't sleep on academia. We can't sleep on scholars. Y'all read the good, bad, and the ugly. We read what we like to read. Y'all got to read the good, bad, the ugly, the pro and the con, and then process it, and then teach it. And increasingly, in 2026, you are teaching a century of screenagers from 3 to 93 who might not be able to listen the same way people listened 20 years earlier. The processing of listening is a lost virtue, and that's where the codes are at. So before, the codes were all in what you read. Now the codes are all in what you say, because the codes can actually be hidden because people don't no longer know how to listen. So many professors and teachers who are teaching from grade, kindergarten, on up to 12 into academia, you could be like this. You could show it in a book and it won't process the same because it don't come through a screen. The minute that we let tech companies run away with the ball, now we behind the eight ball. So this book was a spark from people came together and say, all right, yeah, hip hop is a thing, because, you know, we've heard the talk, like hip hop is the biggest music in the world. And I look at somebody who hasn't been out of their state say that, and I say, what's your proof to say that? Well, everybody seems to be on it. I said, if you really look at hip hop, as Dave will tell you, Davey D will say it, we've been in a disorganized state for 50 years. It's in a little room underneath the basement in a cellar that got too many rats in it. But there's some soul, heart, and of interest that happens to get people's minds and attention, since that's the currency of now. The last story short, this book is the beginning, at least a spark, of people who put in time to study human beings. People that put in time to study how culture was the things that brings us together, for our similarities and knocks the differences to the side. Diametrically opposed to governments. Diametrically opposed to religion. It's something that we all could get and shake and finger pop like we say back in the day too. It's something there. And the people that came along to look further into this spark helped make this book, which doesn't have to be read. It doesn't have to actually go into another curriculum outside UCLA. Or it doesn't even have to go into another language or whatsoever. But it's the spark that's here. And it's a spark that's being understood and being made to be understood by everybody that contributed to this book. So I'm just the face on it, and I've had more than my share, as they say. As they used to say in the old school days, I have more than my share. But our job and our purpose is to point to the contributors, and how do you make the contributors a participant, and then how do you make that participation something that even builds a nation further around the world, and then you got the whole world figuring it out that it's just not this thing that makes you kind of feel like you know what it is, but you kind of get a seed on what it can do. And that's why I say my job is basically maybe corralling people. And that's not just my job. I think the entertainers of the world always had that obligation, but something came in the mix that divided artists and entertainers away from the obligation. Thank you, Gina Belafonte, because I learned early on, before I even met her father, that, you know, we're the truth bearers. We got to be able to process the real work, and maybe we could turn it into song. Maybe we could turn it into sight. Maybe we could turn it into film. Maybe we could turn it into more written words. But if we're in a society that continually looks down at its scholars, then you're gonna have that young person in the class, and y'all seen this over the last 40 years, all the 40 years that we say that we got this hip hop music, what we've seen, and many of y'all was in elementary school, maybe in the 70s, or high school in the 80s. The smartest kid in the classroom was afraid to say that they were smart. They've silenced intelligence in the 80s during R&B, Reagan and Bush. And now, instead of the smartest kid, or what I say, the most outspoken, dumbest kid in the class, all right? I don't know if I'm supposed to use the word dumb, but the most out and out, craziest, dumbest kid in the class, back when I was with the school, they would put a dunce cap on them. In the 80s, they found a way not only to put the dunce cap on the smart kid, but crown the person who was out and out with the most personality. That reversal, I saw clear as day. With the smartest kid in the class, all of a sudden, nah, I don't want to stand up and say I'm smart because I'm afraid of a beatdown. Well, everybody ain't gonna beat your ass. So here we are, 40 years later. And they sometimes, that hip hop was used to go counter to the smartest kid in the class. The beginning, and I'll leave on this note, the beginning of hip hop, if you didn't have the words or vocabulary, you couldn't rhyme. You couldn't spit if you ain't got no words. You couldn't just use grunts. Just because it wasn't just on the beat. You had to come with words. And Dave knows you couldn't use the same fly word twice in a bar. You know, so we went from that, and understand this. COINTELPRO figured that out before we did. New COINTELPRO already knew the power of hip-hop and rap music in the early 80s before y'all went to your first parties. So when we know that, there will be more books to come that break it down. And hopefully there'll be more scholars and teachers on local levels as well that could break it down to students who are now looking to figure out, why do I like this thing that I dig? And the reasons are here. Like I said, everybody's contribution to this book is what makes this book. Not me. I mean, I'm a conductor. It went through me. So I want to commend everybody's effort in helping to take this step into something that's concrete. Sammy was what we call a wonder kind. Because he's the person that daringly steps out there and says, hey, I come from this background, but I'm coming from a spot where I can make the world turn. Thank you.
The generosity, the humility, the brilliance. Please give it up one more time for Chuck D.